We are back. Called Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino.
You know, you almost didn't get your earphones.
Yes, I know that.
For that,
they were driving me.
I want to point this out
now,
because
please,
people can't see us.
I was racing because the cord got tied up my foot. And I'm standing, and I yanked it, and the thing fell.
Was that what happened?
It was a mess. It was a mess. But I'm back. And I'm back to talk about, in this particular segment, where we will be taking a listen to Damon Roberts once again with Wide World of Stock. But before that, I've done a lot of homework over the course of the last 2 weeks about the changing face of the oil industry and what's going on with oil in the world. And I've been reading a series of reports, and I've been talking, as you know, with my Wall Street buddies, and this leads into Wide World of Stock, with reference to the price of oil and where it's all going. Just recently, the Goldman Sachs president noted that the fact that oil may drop to $30 a barrel.
I find that really not unbelievable.
But it's not unbelievable when you look at what's going on around the world.
Yeah, but that's going to affect the economy of every nation in the world.
Without question. There are things that are happening. It's called now on Wall Street the oil play, okay? And that play right now is the United States, and I was unaware of this, we are running out of capacity to store oil in this country. We're running out of capacity. We got no place else to put it. This has happened before. In Greece, it happened once where they wound up putting all their excess crude oil on oil tankers, and they left them in the harbors because they could not store them on land. We're getting to that point where there's such a glut in the world. And things are happening. What people are not seeing right now, and oil is beginning to become the barometer for all of this, is that the world is beginning to change. I think in a very positive way. And the way is alternate energy sources, wind, water, batteries used for cars, as an example. There is a move towards a different kind of energy in this country. And we are leading the planet. And with that slight, ever so slight shift, and I'm talking anywhere from 1% to 2% of our total use of energy being now used, possibly 3 to 4, as you begin to roll towards alternative sources of energy, solar notwithstanding. It's beginning to affect the global marketplace. And that global marketplace now will sit in June, which is the big month, when the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries meet. All right. Look at Iran. We begin to tail down their nuclear program. And this is a very interesting argument that Goldman Sachs had. We tail down their nuclear program. They're going to have a much ramped up need for oil. Okay, so where do we go from there? It's a volatile, very confused and politically sensitive environment that oil now finds itself. But it's affecting everything that's going to go on in the next 10 years, in my opinion.
Well, you know, we may be in a transition between oil and alternate energy sources globally.
Yes, absolutely.
Where, you know, it happened from horsepower to petroleum.
Some years ago, a friend of mine in the Department of Defense in Abril, who I'll remain nameless, he said to me, as the American Blue Fleet shifts from oil to nuclear, and they are one of the largest consumers of oil on the planet because we have 285 active ships at one time or another, okay? Mm-hmm. It started with our submarine fleet, okay, that can stay down for 6 months at a time and hidden. This began, he said, watch what happens in the next 10 years. This was 2001, before 9/11, the early part of the year. We had dinner. And I'm saying, is it going to affect the world oil situation? He says, give it 10 or 15 years. Well, he was right. Okay, that started with the nuclear fleet. It's beginning to gain its own momentum. As an example, some of the major carriers of container cargo ships are shifting from oil to gas. Okay, there's been a commercial running about that, and many of them are now shifting to gas as opposed to oil. That's a huge.
You mean gas
to operate the
entire ship?
Yeah, exactly.
From diesel to gas.
To gas.
All right.
Fascinating. So there's that shift to alternates, clean burning energy, of course. And there's that shift. Many city buses have now gone to gas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that shift is quietly beginning to take effect. And it's also affecting oil, which is driving many economies. It's a fascinating story. I want to stay on top of this because I like it. It's called the oil play on Wall Street. But it's now beginning to gain momentum. Let's see where it goes. I am one of those that say, we won't see $50, above $50 a barrel of oil in the next 5 years, and that's my opinion.
We will or will not?
Will not. It's going to fall below 50 and stay there. And that's my opinion.
Well, let's mark this date this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's
see how prescient you really are.
Let us see. And not Herman Cain either, I might add.
No, of course not.
Well, now with that thought, let us shift our attention just a bit, staying on the financial sector, with Damon Roberts and Wide World of Stock. Damon, please.
All right, Roland, Carl, thank you very much, guys. Folks, welcome to another Wide World of Stocks business update, brought to you this week by Cellular Biomedicine Group, symbol CBMG. You can visit them on the web at cellbiomedgroup.com. And joining me on the show today is the Wide World of Stocks biotech analyst, and that's Mr. John McCammett. John is the editor and publisher of bioinvest.com's medical technology stock letter, and he's been a professional biotech investor for more than 25 years. And John, welcome back to the show. You know, last week we spoke a little bit about biotech and it being so hot in 2015, but I want to start off this week by asking you, it seems like the relationship between the FDA and these biotech companies has never been better. Is that the case?
It is, and it comes from both sides. A maturing industry, also you get good regulatory partners that can, you know, that's why we partner with some of the smaller companies. They need to have some of that experience when they interact with an agency like the FDA.
Seems like smaller cap biotechs that are trying to obviously grow and become maybe acquisition targets, it seems like now, where before you had to be maybe in a phase two, phase three for a major to look at you, it seems now that the majors are struggling to have things in their pipeline and that they're actually starting to look at these smaller companies much earlier, some even preclinical data, animal study data, efficacy data. They're starting to take an interest in some of these companies much earlier than we would remember them. Is that the case?
It certainly is. Maybe there's two ways to look at that. One way we could tie back to the FDA, and if they're working faster with a cancer company and a life-threatening disease, and I got good phase 1-2 data that I really see that this drug might work, well, I know that drug could be in the market in 2 years as opposed to maybe 5 years before. So that really allows you to change your models, your revenues, but getting in the market and beating competition, all of those are very, very important.
All right, so let's talk recent topical news right now. There's been a lot of news. Sales have been awesome. With Gilead's HCV drug breaking records. Tell me about that and some other companies that you're watching as we go into 2015.
Well, if nothing else, 2000 was the year of Gilead in the HCV drug, which basically cures a large portion of HCV patients. It sold over $3 billion in its first quarter on the market, the biggest quarter, first quarter ever for a drug in history. So, but then right after that, in March, April timeframe, we had some politicians making comments about the high price of the drug, which is controversial, but what's really controversial is they're curing the disease, and we have to factor in how much a cure is worth as opposed to paying the same amount of dollars every year for this drug for a long period of time. And then just a few weeks ago, we had a Gilead competitor get approved, AbbVie, and we had basically a 5 to 10% correction in the group in 2 days as everyone decided no one was going to be able to price new drugs at a premium. Well, there's a little bit of competition here, and Gilead's already negotiated some things with this company, CVS, already. So we don't think price pressures are going to be the downfall of biotech, particularly with the new drugs that can show real benefits. They will always be able to command a premium pricing, Damon.
All right, John, thank you very much. You can, of course, check John on the web at bioinvest.com. You can subscribe to his newsletter there as well. And you can check us out, of course, at www.wideworldofstocks.com. Carl and Roland, exciting stuff in biotech, health, and wealth. We'll be following it all month long right here on Wide World of Stocks. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Damon. Roland, that's very interesting stuff, and I've been following and tracking, along with my oil play that we just discussed in the opening part of this segment, the whole trend now in the biotech community. They are leaps and bounds ahead of where they were just 5 years ago. Before the recession.
Well, I know from obviously personal discussions with you, as well as what we've talked about on the air, that you do have a major interest in the biotech area.
Yes, I do.
I'm curious, and you also have a lot of experience in the Wall Street, and you understand the nomenclature, the language of Wall Street.
Yes.
And I just wonder if maybe perhaps some of our audience does not when he says small cap. Versus, what does he mean?
Small cap means that a company is being financed at a much lower level. It's a small cap finance, which means that you're not looking for $100 million to give people a number. You're looking at small capitalization is the word. They say small cap to get the company either started or rolling into their premier production line so they can sell their product. That's called small cap. And it usually falls between $4 and $15 million. That's basically the round number.
Small, little weekly salary
For somebody. Yeah. Just to kind of get them started, and that's why they're considered small cap companies.
I got it.
All right. They're mostly on the NASDAQ, but biotech is happening, and it's happening. It's fascinating what we're doing in that end of the environment, particularly in the areas of specific micro research. As someone once said to me, a doctor recently at NYU Medical Center, it's going to become a small world, and that's where the future is in biotech. Not large, small.
And we'll keep informing people.
Yes, we will. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue to inform you. America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
America Weekend. Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.